Welcome to episode 78 of the Analog Assault Podcast. This week we're talking all about Star Wars, so grab your lightsabers, charge your blasters, and let's go!
You're listening to Analog Assault, a video game podcast by Mulehorn Gaming.
All right, guys, welcome to the Analog Assault Podcast. We have a very special episode. We got a couple of guests here, and I can't wait to introduce them to you. But we're talking all about Star Wars, because, man, there's a game coming out this month. There's The Mandalorian coming out, next month, and The Mandalorian coming out next month as well, and Star Wars Rise of Skywalker that's coming out in December. So we're going to have a little round table here. But before we introduce our guests, just a little housekeeping. If you'd like to leave us a voicemail to use on the podcast, you can call us in at 512-571-3907. And if you'd like the content you see here, then check out our Patreon page. Head over to patreon.com/MuleHornGaming. Mega shout out to our gold level supporter, Hashling Slasher. Appreciate it, brother. So, round table, got a couple of guests. So let's do a little intros here. We've had them on the podcast once before. Actually, both of y'all have been on the podcast before. So yeah, we met at PAX South, and we met William and Anchor. What's up, guys?
Hey, good morning.
Hey, Wade. Good morning.
So I know, William, I made you wake up at 8:30 a.m. on a Saturday.
I'm sorry. Sin. It is
to talk Star Wars.
Cardinal sin. Yeah, and no, we're not going to talk Star Wars. We're probably going to talk Thrawn for about at least 10 minutes. Oh, did you hear that melody?
Sure,
Thrawn has to be in the movie. Am I spoiling the podcast? No,
not at all, not at all.
But thank you so much for having us, Wade. And Scarecrow, always good to see you. Yeah. And yeah, PAX South, geez, we're about to come up on our 1 year anniversary of all knowing each other and doing things together and traveling
things
to Hollywood
stuff.
Together.
Where does time go?
Yeah, I know. Where does time go?
So for our audience here, tell us a little bit about each of yourselves, what you do, kind of your thing, your niche.
Yeah, well, I'm Anchor654, and you can find me on Twitch, a variety streamer focusing on Greedfall and Anthem right now. Star Citizen a lot. Like, I love flight sims and everything and story-focused games.
Nice.
And do a little bit of cosplay on Instagram. You can see lately Hera Syndulla on there as well. Anything Star Wars as well. No matter what I'm streaming, it seems like my chat and I will always talk Star Wars or Thrawn specifically.
That's better.
Yeah, you know me. So yeah, like, you can find me on Twitch talking all things, everything Star Wars. That's me.
Nice.
Right on.
And then I'm William from Your Anthem, and I wonder what game I cover. I only cover one game right now, and only ever have any intention of covering one game. Find me on YouTube at Your Anthem, Twitter at /AnthemYour. And aside from that, Wade and I have traveled the world together, and we'll continue traveling the world together for however many more years we've got. But
we got a little close and comfortable with each other lately.
the rusty mullet, man.
Oh, dude, that was so fun.
That was the best time. But no, I'm a lifelong Star Wars fan and an original Thrawn lover from Legends. And I could talk Star Wars all day long, too, just not at 8:30 in the morning.
Sure, you can.
You say that like it's early or something.
It's early. No.
What were you saying, Crow? You wanted to ask something?
I was going to say, I have to ask, did the beard touch the hair?
No. No, it did not. It, at no point in time ever in a million years. No. But Wade may have had to carry me back. And I may have stumbled around Hollywood a little bit.
I may have some incriminating photos that I'll just keep.
Oh, let's not ever do
person.
That. Let's just not do that one. That's okay.
Yeah, it was a blast. It was really fun.
10 out of 10.
So, guys, Star Wars. Let's. We're going to talk about The Fallen Order, the new game that's coming out next month, The Mandalorian, and, of course, Rise of Skywalker. So let's start with the Vigigame. And that's Jedi Fallen Order. We got some more gameplay. We're getting more stuff that they've recently released. So let's just get your general thoughts on the game so far. What do you think with what you saw and some of the new things that they revealed recently to us?
Oh my gosh, I am so excited for this game. Like, especially from the first gameplay reveal that they showed with Saw Gerrera. Like, I'm a canon crazy junkie.
Yes,
I've tried to keep up with all the canon books, and there's only like a few that I haven't, like Last Shot, and I'm still trying to get through Alphabet Squadron. But I'm so excited with how it's going to tie in to everything that they've put out. And just, it's reminding me a lot of Mass Effect, actually. The first Mass Effect, with how they showed the galaxy map.
Yes.
I don't know, I'm getting that vibe.
Oh my gosh.
So I'm really excited for it. And it looks beautiful. It seems really smooth. I'm super excited with how they're saying the combat is going to act as well with the lightsaber. And I don't know, it seems like you can customize Cal a lot as well.
Yeah, that's what I'm looking forward to the most. The customizing your lightsaber, that pleased me immensely, because I knew that you could get like that orange color crystal, and now orange color crystals are canon. Great.
Yep.
But I was like, okay, well, you can either have a blue or an orange lightsaber. Eh. My colors are green and yellow. I was like, oh, finally, you can have a yellow or green lightsaber, and you can actually change the hilt and the emitter and everything else and go all in depth. But what I'm looking forward to the most with this game is, like Anchor said, the combat, very risk-reward, and you actually get to fight two Inquisitors, that Barwootan Inquisitor, I forget her name, or which number she is.
Seventh
sister, I think.
Yeah, second. The giant one. Oh, in the comics, she was just excellent. She's unlike any other Inquisitor. She's not a great fighter at all, which, from all the footage I've seen, that's a load of it. But she's apparently an empath and can control people's emotions or read their emotions. And she's crazy, stupid, deadly in the Force. So looking forward to it.
So correct me if I'm wrong, but doesn't Ahsoka kill the second sister?
No, she kills the ninth brother, I think, and takes his lightsaber crystals.
That's okay.
He was with Vader's assault team on Mon Calamari.
Yeah. Okay. I couldn't remember that because I was pretty sure it was in the Ahsoka book, but I couldn't remember. So I feel kind of dumb asking this, but I'm assuming you guys have also watched all the animated series, including Clone Wars and Rebels.
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, yes. Rebels is probably my favorite Star Wars.
I wonder why.
Well, obviously.
Is it because Bindu, maybe? No.
Try Bluer.
Well, the Bindu's part of it.
Oh, God. No.
It goes into my theory.
Let's go back to Fallen Order.
we'll get to that theory in a few. It's I think, and Crow, you can kind of chime in too, but I think one of the things that I liked the most is some of the behind-the-scenes interviews I saw with the devs where they talked about the parry system. And it looks a lot like God of War, where it's risk-reward, and how they didn't want the lightsaber to not feel powerful. So they introduced that system so that, hey, if you block this guy, you can really take him out with one swing. I think that is a fantastic idea, because you don't want to be stuck something similar to like Star Wars Battlefront 2 in hero mode, the heroes versus villains, where it's taking like 8 or 9 swings sometimes just to kill a guy. Which is, I mean, it works for that particular game, but in this game where it looks like it's more of like a kind of a realistic Jedi feel, where like, hey, your Jedi is going to have to feel more like OP, basically, when they face a stormtrooper.
When I'm looking at this, I haven't spent a whole lot of time on it, but from what I've seen, it reminds me a lot of the old game Jedi Knight Jedi Academy.
Oh, yes.
Like you were mentioning, you can whittle down enemies, but then there are other things you can do to one-shot them if you do it right. For sure. But I mean, it's obviously a whole lot better looking.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, when they show that moment where he basically like force pulls and sabers him, it's very much like the Jedi Outcast and Jedi the Academy 2, or whatever, Jedi Outcast 2, where you can actually do a force pull and like hit him with your saber. Mm-hmm. So when I saw that, I was like, yes, that's all I want to do.
Well, here's one of the other things I really enjoyed, and this was a small detail that I noticed almost immediately from the first reveal trailer where you saw Cal fighting the Purge Trooper.
Yeah.
Is that what they're calling him?
Yeah.
Where they haven't created a substance in the Star Wars universe yet, at least in canon to my knowledge, that can actually deflect lightsabers or can hit a lightsaber, not get sliced. So those Purge Troopers are actually trained to block the lightsaber blows by hitting their hilts.
And
I thought that was such a cool detail. And yeah. To your point, though, Wade, whenever you pull that trooper and you stab him, you better make sure he's the only one around or else you're going to get absolutely decimated.
Yeah. It's a risk-reward type system, which is...
Love that.
I mean, it looks a lot like God of War to me, which I mean, God of War's combat was fan-freaking-tastic. Oh, I loved it.
Force Unleashed meets God of War. That's how I'm looking at it.
Ooh, exactly.
It's good combo. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, Anchor, if you've never played God of War and
I haven't.
Wow, you got to
It's still on my list. I have it, but I just
It's on her list, her growing list of things she's going to have to finish and catch up on.
Such a big backlog.
Yeah, it's like kind of like, I mean, I haven't really played Dark Souls that much, but it's very much where like sometimes you have to kind of dodge and roll and then like parry. But like that system, I think, will work well with the way they're doing the game. And one of the things too, William, you're talking about deflecting. They may actually have like an electrical charge on the end, kind of like episode 2 with the droids, episode 3. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Where you kind of have that electrical charge to kind of not really block it, but just kind of like make it bounce. Or it could, I mean, I don't know if it's still considered canon, but Viral Blades, like there's some
not
types
canon
of.
Canon anymore. Unfortunately. Yeah.
Okay, I couldn't remember. Because I know Cortosis is a thing now, too, with the Thrawn, with alliances.
Low supply that Thrawn's even having to salvage old droidicas in order to get a sampling or a scrapping of them.
Yeah.
Yeah, didn't he do that in the comics?
The books.
Yeah, book, he was collecting like special droidicas that had that Cortosis core to it. Which I find very suspicious, but
there's obviously not enough to make staffs for all the Purge Troopers, and unfortunately, vibroblades were old SWTOR and KOTOR, and obviously not Disney canon. Unfortunately, damn you, Disney!
So they don't consider SWTOR canon now, right?
Right. So Valkorion, the Eternal Alliance, everything that happens there, Satil Shan, Malgus, never ever happened, which sucks There was a book I read or was reading, and Palpatine literally hands Vader a journal where it was talking about Darth Malgus because Malgus suffered horrible injuries and had to have that rebreather mask for the rest of his life and wore that heavy armor. He's like, hey, look, this guy literally almost took over the galaxy and survived all that. You can do better. And it's unfortunate that that stuff just isn't canon, but they're still making stuff because... It's part of the EA contract with old Lucasfilm.
Yeah.
It's unfortunate.
I think there's potential, though, for it to be brought back in. Like, I know Rebels mentioned the lightsaber hilt, that battle outside of the Synth Temple. I think that was kind of a reference to that era. So they could still bring it in. There's Echoes, for sure. And Revan was almost brought into the Clone Wars.
Yes.
As well. Like preliminary blocking out for it and everything. You can find it on YouTube somewhere.
But there's one ship, everyone and their mother, that made that 10-minute breakdown video of everything you missed from the trailer. I'm telling you, without fail, a 30-second trailer is a 10-minute video breakdown of everything you missed. And 15% of it, or 50% of it was text on screen. Oh, my God. With that ship scene, guess what I saw, Wade?
Oh, I was going to ask you about that.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, the ghost. But saw...
But we saw two old Republic-era ships.
Oh,
we saw
too.
The Hammerhead, but we also saw the Consular's ship.
Yeah.
From SWTOR. I was like, wait, Yeah, what?
Really? Yeah.
That's the mm-hmm. consular ship. And I was like, wow, that's kind of crazy. Well, I guess the Jedi Knight ship too, but oh, there you go.
Well, I feel like Dave Filoni has done a fantastic job bringing some of the old EU into canon with Clone Wars and Rebels. Just for the fact that they went back to Malachor when they had that scene with Ahsoka and Kanan Jarrus and Darth Maul and Rebels. Like, I thought that was fantastic, man. I was like, okay, so this is canon now. At least it's hinting at it. But yeah, you were talking about that, like seeing Saul and everything else. I'm hoping that they kind of bring more tie-in with Jedi Fallen Order, more stuff like that. Maybe bring some more like old lore into play. I know the comics. I know y'all probably read the comics. The comics do a fantastic job of that. Like the old Darth Vader series, like, is great with that.
Have you seen all the Fallen Order comics?
No, I've only read the first one.
Read the three. Oh my gosh, they're so good.
You need to hop on it. What I've enjoyed the most is that they're exploring other factions of Force users aside from Jedi and Sith. And I won't spoil anything and say any more than that, but
interesting.
It's so cool that Lucasfilm story group's like, there are the Jedi and there are the Sith, but there are other Force galaxy or Force entities or Force organizations out in the galaxy, like the Dathomiri witches and so on and so forth. And by the way, Dathomir is one of the planets that we're going to go to. So
wait, is it? Oh my gosh!
Ooh. Oh,
dang. No! Did I say a no-no?
No, that's fine with me. I'm excited now, even more.
Oh boy! Well, So I guess the cat's out of the bag. Dathomir is one of the planets, and I wonder what evil spirits are lurking around on that world.
Oh, I don't know.
Well, and I think Thrawn has one of those spheres things in his office. Yes.
And where's my... We should have made a drinking game of this. That would have gotten me up. Every time she says Thrawn, out of context or out of nowhere, we take a shot.
Oh, I drank too much last night.
No, like, I connect absolutely everything to Thrawn, so... Yeah. But he's kind of everywhere.
Mace Windu. Thrawn.
Yep. Obviously.
Thrawn.
He's in disguise.
Thrawn? Yep.
Yeah. So one last point here before we move on to The Mandalorian. So they did a little bit more talking about the dismemberment. So I don't know if you guys saw some of the behind the scenes stuff, but what do you think with the way they're doing dismemberment? Do you like that? Do you kind of jive with it?
I mean, you can dismember spiders' legs. You can totally behead a wampa. You can do all this to creatures, but they're not letting you do it with the stormtroopers. I mean, part of me is like, oh well. It's trying to be marketable to kids too, but at the same time, it's like, just dismember a damn stormtrooper. Come on. I've got a lightsaber and I slash through a guy's arm. That arm is gone. Hell, I'm taking that arm as a trophy. I'm lugging it back to the ship, and BD-1's going to be like, "What are you doing there? Have you replaced me?"
Oh my goodness!
But no, I want to take that arm as a trophy, and they're not letting me have my trophy. This is incredibly morbid.
I'm getting flashbacks of the forest.
Oh my gosh! Yeah, the forest.
But yes.
Anyway, I'm not the biggest fan of it, but I'm not also losing sleep over it or writing angry Twitter posts about it.
Yeah, and like, I'm okay with it. Like from a like ESRB standpoint, I can see them wanting to like temper how graphic they get for sure. So there's going to be some sort of suspension of disbelief there, of course, with a lightsaber. But I'm okay with it.
What do you think, Crow?
Oh, I don't know. Like, I'm a little behind on this stuff. I'm really enjoying listening more talking. You guys talk about all this. I'm definitely not the hardcore fan like you guys are. I'm definitely more just like the games and the movies for the most part in the shows.
Gaspuru.
But story wise, I wonder if someone will lose a limb. you know.
Well, here's the thing is I don't it's really, really recent. I think it was Game Informer that did this interview. Where they were talking about that very question, because for some Star Wars fans, they're like, come on, man, like Force Unleashed, you're like cutting everything in half.
Oh, yeah.
Like everything, you know, Jedi Academy, the older games, you're cutting stuff. And their quote reason was they wanted to be marketable to a larger audience.
Yep,
and
there you go.
They said they talked to Lucasfilm and they wanted lightsabers to feel powerful and have engagements with like bosses or people to feel powerful. So they saved like the dismemberment or the cutting in half and things like that for like bigger plot points and interactions. So apparently you will be able to dismember people or, you know, I don't know. They alluded that you're going to be able to. So I'm thinking you may have some like fights with a big boss guy and you like chop off his arm or something, you know.
Okay, see, like a finishing move.
I want to see someone lose a leg.
That happening to one of the sisters.
Like we were mentioning, someone always seems to lose a limb, but it's always a hand. Like I want to see someone lose a leg.
Yeah.
Well,
you know, this is my nerdiness in me here, but so I don't know if this is still considered canon, or it may, actually I think it is canon. One of the reasons why Count Dooku could not stand Grievous and Anakin is because they had artificial limbs, and he just, that was not his thing. He's like, no, that's like, you're like a lower class type person now because of that.
Because you're not so full what was yourself?
Yeah. Yeah, so what was devastating to him, to what Anakin did to him, is when he chopped off both his hands. Because Dooku was then like, oh, crap, look what just happened to me. You know, so even if Anakin didn't kill him, he would have had to live the rest of his life with those same prejudiced feelings he had.
Or like, he just forever. Wouldn't, or he might like stick to his guns so hard that he just doesn't get new hands.
You're talking major Dooku lore buff here, man.
Yeah. So expand on that, William. Am I kind of on point with that? Or what was his thought on that?
No, yeah, you're totally right. Dooku, he didn't like Grievous for a number of reasons. Grievous was literally built to take the fall for all of Dooku's sins, basically, and kind of kept him at arm's length. But yeah, I mean, he was a cyborg. He was like, why? He was a proud Kalish warrior. And unlike in Legends, where it was Grievous was sustained heavy injuries and had to do the cybernetic replacements, Grievous literally opted to have his carcass removed and parts of his body piece by piece. You saw it in the Clone Wars episode, Layer of Grievous.
Yeah.
And Dooku couldn't stand it. He was training Grievous from the time he was a Kalish, and then starts changing and evolving, and Dooku couldn't stand it, but he was like, eh, more menacing, more horrible looking. Yeah, I can blame this guy for everything. And
Also, it seemed, well, obviously, Grievous is not force sensitive whatsoever, so there's that.
Well, actually, he was slightly force sensitive. That's why he picked up on lightsaber combat so well.
Okay.
Even with his slagged organs in that metallic carcass, part of it is the force. Grievous, like, wasn't a force user.
Yeah.
But he had an affinity for it, which made
sensitivity.
Made him one of the greatest Kalish warlords. But then Anakin, the chosen one, to have an arm missing, Dooku was like, well, if I can remove the chosen one's arm, the guy isn't the chosen one. And Palpatine's been wrong all this time. And I'm the guy that's meant to rule the galaxy beside him, blah, blah, blah. And he can't be a full force user without that limb, which he was proven wrong and lost both of his own arms. But yeah, that was his initial shock was, well, now I'm not a full force user. Literally one of the strongest force users of the time can't use, and the best lightsaber duelist of the time too.
Yeah. So switching gears over here, we'll talk very briefly about The Mandalorian, because we don't have a lot. We have a couple of trailers, but that's about it. But there's some people that got to see some behind closed doors footage. I think they were shown not like an actual full episode, but kind of a disjointed episode to let them get a feel of the series. And guys, the reviews are glowing. So what are your initial thoughts on these reviews? What do you think about The Mandalorian? What are you hoping to see in it?
Oh my gosh, I'm so excited about it. And I got to see a little bit at Celebration as well. Like very early, like special effects not complete. I just, the feel of it is so gritty and it feels like a Western. And just reading through the reviews, like, it seems very true to that original feel. And then I'm looking through the director's list as well, and I see Dave Filoni on there.
Yes.
And twice. It looks like he's doing episode 1 and episode 5. So I'm like, oh my gosh, what is he directing? What's happening? Who can be there? You know?
Plus you got Favreau.
Yeah.
Good grief.
John.
Yeah, man.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of potential for this time period with who can show up. And like, I'm very curious, too, about the political situation during this time. Because episode 7, we didn't see much personally with the New Republic and what's happening to restore order.
Yeah.
You get a little bit of that in Bloodlines, but it's still pretty close to the episode 7 time period. So just right now, I'm just imagining that Western feel, you know, chaos and everyone looking out for themselves. And so I'm very curious.
So perfect for a Mandalorian.
So this is all taking place between 6 and 7 is when the Mandalorian is supposed to be?
Yeah.
Okay. Gotcha.
Yeah. Like I was reading the reviews and it gave me the feels for like the old school. Used to we just called it Star Wars, but it's called New Hope now. for us old dogs. But it gave me the same feeling of New Hope, where it's like kind of like you're saying, Anchor, like a Western, like a space opera Western that Lucas originally intended for the, you know, 4, 5, and 6 episodes. And I think the thing that really excited me is I'm a huge Game of Thrones fan as well.
Oh my God. I was just about to say Oberyn Martell, my man.
Yes. Yes. When I saw that Pedro was like, he was going to play the Mandalorian and like, correct me if I'm wrong, but isn't he from the Fett bloodline? Like, or the Fett clan?
They haven't specified. And I think they flat out said he's not Boba Fett. But what's interesting, he could be wearing part of Boba Fett's armor, because there is this sequence that happens in the Aftermath series. I can't remember which book, but someone does go back to Tatooine to reclaim Boba Fett's armor and becomes kind of like a sheriff on Tatooine. So I'm kind of wondering if that's who the Mandalorian is. Like, I'm not sure, but this Mandalorian seems to travel a lot more. Like, we see a forest-type planet in the previews, so... I don't know. Like, the one in Aftermath seems to be localized to Tatooine.
His equipment, parts of it are Mandalorian steel. The other parts are not, though, which I thought was really interesting. In that first trailer you see, or maybe the first 15 minutes from Celebration that we got to see, whatever, he goes this Imperial, and he literally has blocks of Mandalorian steel. What's it called, Anchor?
Beskar. And that's Beskar. The scene that I saw. At Celebration.
Yeah, Beskar alloy. And the idea is he would reforge his armor, or at least the parts that aren't Beskar, because...
from that currency, maybe. I wonder.
Yeah, so Beskar alloy, after the Empire took over, they mined all of it off of Mandalore. Like, Mandalorians aren't going to be able to forge new Mandalorian armor anymore, so... And plus, Thrawn's super weapon got... decimated, the one that burns up Beskar alloy, but
from Rebels, for those of you that are listening don't know, that's that's from Rebels, so
but that's the moral of the story, and I really like that this guy is he is a badass as badass, but he's not a perfect Mandalorian, and I don't know, I'm looking forward to seeing all the trouble Ober and Martell's going to get into. And I mean, come on, he's got the spear gun. He's got a
spear. Dude, that thing is freaking.
That is awesome.
In the previews, when he like throws it around, he's like, you know, like, that was freaking cool, man.
Yeah, I'm excited. And then the IG-11 droid.
Ah, yeah.
Taika Waititi.
Yeah. You know, one of the things I was noticing, I was looking through pictures here from some of the prop sets, and I don't know if it's just like common use or whatnot, that on his leg, he has something very similar to what we see Bossk use. Like those little toxic grenades or something. Mm-mm. I'm not quite sure. I'm looking at the little belt. Yeah.
Canister
like
belt.
You see it on his leg.
Yeah.
Oh, right.
And so I'm just curious because he looks like, kind of like you were saying, it's like kind of just pulled from all different types of armor and whatnot. So, and it adds to the mystery because no one knows who this guy is.
Yeah.
I hope they never reveal the face. That's one thing that I've always thought was, I want to know who it is underneath the mask. I want to know who it is underneath the mask or the helmet or whatever. You got it with Darth Vader. That was a sweet moment, but I don't know. Whenever a character like that begins their career, I suppose you could say, with a helmet on or a mask on and their identity's unknown, it always feels kind of anticlimactic to me, and you lose that mystery of who is that person underneath the helmet when they take it off. I personally hope we never see him without it.
Yeah,
I kind of want to see him as a mystery man too, like kind of just almost like Revan and KOTOR, you know?
Oh, right. Yeah.
Like, if you do get a reveal, it's like a mega big, like, reveal. Like, I would be okay if they, like, because, you know, Fett Clan was pretty large. They go all the way back to Revan, which it would be really cool to see, like, maybe if there's, like, a moment in the series where he's like, they're like, who are you? And he takes off his helmet and he's like, I'm blah, 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 Fett. And sets his helmet down. Because the Fetts were, like, serious warlords in the Mandalorian army. I mean, I don't know if you guys knew this, but, like,
one of
the Fetts, stood up and killed the person that was, I can't remember their name, but a Mandalorian that was saying, hey, we shouldn't commit genocide. And the helmet that Revan uses is the helmet of that Mandalorian that stood up to the Fetts and the other warlords of the Mandalorians. So, it'd be kind of cool to see if he's kind of brutal like that.
I'm hoping that they're not going to make him a Fett, because it's like, oh, give me a break. Another, you had two Fetts. You had three movies based off the Fetts. I mean, it's like keeping up with the Fetts at this point. It's time for the Kardashians to end. I mean, the Fetts to end. And I think it would be cooler if he wasn't a Fett. He's just this guy that came out, and maybe he's not even Mandalorian. Maybe he's just honoring their customs or badass piece of armor. I don't have to be a Mandalorian to be a badass and wear badass armor. I don't know.
What if he's of the line of Candorous?
That'd be cool. Ooh. I mean, but that would have to make him canon, and that's Old Republic biz, and supposedly
bring it back in, man.
Well,
Dave
supposedly
Filoni.
They're working on Old Republic biz to be a new saga.
That would be amazing.
For,
and maybe
Game
that's why
directors.
They have the like design for the counselorship.
That made me really happy to see that ship. Because I mean, huh? Wait a minute. Huh? Wait. That's an
Did
Old
I just
Republic
give you an
ship.
Idea?
No. I'm reenacting from.
Okay.
Or saw it, but anyway, no. I think the Mandalorian's going to be great. I think it's going to be packed full of personality and the best Star Wars media ever, and I'm willing to bet one episode will far, far surpass The Last Jedi.
Ooh, little fighting words.
Oh, low opinion of The Last Jedi.
So let's segue to Rise of Skywalker.
Okay.
We see the trailer.
I'm
There's
so
a
hyped.
lot of really small details in there. Let's just talk about those details. And before we start, Anchor, please tell me your theory about Thrawn.
Christ.
Oh my gosh.
All right, back to the next
well,
half hour.
I mean, where do I begin?
Oh, Christ. Mule.
I want to hear it. I mean,
well,
it's
like,
good stuff.
You want to hear before Rise of Skywalker? Well, okay, I could talk.
Just tie it all
I could
together
tie it
for me
into
a nice
Rise
little
of Skywalker.
Bow. Yeah,
well,
let's hear a nice little bow here.
Well, part of the reason, so for the title, The Rise of Skywalker, I think it could refer to a general term for Force users, and we see that with the term that the Chiss use for Force user, which translates to basic to Skywalker. So it's Ozili Ezehimbo, so there's that. And two, I mean, I guess I'll go right into it. I think Thrawn is Force sensitive. There we go. And, you know, like the Bindu, I feel like totally calls him out on it. When the Bindu goes, "You cannot see," just like out of nowhere. Because especially after reading Thrawn Treason, there's third sight and second sight, which I'm assuming there's a first sight as well, but Treason doesn't go into it. But third sight is the sight from without. That's how they travel. Like, they don't have hyperspace computers. They use force-sensitive children to guide their ship using precognition, basically. And it's really cool because Thrawn was very confused with Anakin when he met him in the Clone Wars with just how their technology worked. But yeah, and then second sight is the sight from within, where it's basically what Rey and Kylo did in the interrogation scene, where it's the sight from within each other, which I think also kind of ties into why they have a force connection. Because there was a worry from Admiral Arulani between the two children who were doing this in that book that if they both have second sight, there was a potential for their souls to become entwined and for them to be lost. And that's kind of what happens with Rey and Kylo. So, like I feel like Thrawn was once one of these children who was... I don't know if they were forced to work for the military, we might get that in the next trilogy that Zahn is writing, which I'm very excited about, obviously, coming out in March, I believe. And there's just, like, I could tell you, like, evidences forever about why I think he's force sensitive, but it goes all the way back to the first book and everything, and... I don't know, with Ezra and Thrawn going out at the end of Rebels, they could come back. I'm thinking that at least the Chiss Ascendancy in some way I'm hoping is involved with this new movie, with The Rise of Skywalker.
So even if they gave him like a cameo, would you be excited? Like,
I would freak out. On a ship? No matter where you are in this world, you will hear me scream. Like, with The Mandalorian, I can see him coming in at some point. Because with Thrawn, he's worried about this outside threat called the Grisk. And I guess it's the Yuuzhan Vong in Legends, or perhaps they're just a branch from them. But Thrawn is very worried about the Grisk invading Imperial space. And he actually stops them in Thrawn Alliances from doing so. And I could go into why I think Thrawn is like a fulcrum agent as well, which I...
Yes.
It's
interesting what the Bindu tell him in Rebels when they talk about his demise. Like, you see the ice in The Rise of Skywalker and he kind of...
If that is the Chimera rising in The Rise of Skywalker from the ice, oh my gosh. Yeah, so when the Bindu is telling him, he calls him out, I think, on his lack of sight. And then the Bindu tells him, "I see your defeat like many arms surrounding you in a cold embrace." Well, in Rebels, I always thought that that was fulfilled, you know, because we see the arms of the Purrgil like surrounding him. And I'm like, okay, hyperspace, maybe it's cold. But we see in this trailer a Star Destroyer surrounded in cold ice, rising out of it. So... Like, I don't know. Maybe Thrawn reclaims his Star Destroyer, and I'm just, I'm feeling William roll his eyes.
William's just like, what? What'd you say, guys?
Yeah.
No comment on any of this at this time.
So, yeah, I'm just, I see that. And two, in the Resistance cartoon, I don't know if y'all have been watching that, but in their trailer, there's literally a Chimera surrounded by a Purrgil on the temple floor. If you go back and watch it, it's like the yin and yang symbol, but on the floor where the two children from Tahar are going into this temple, it's literally the Chimera surrounded by a Purrgil. Like, there's swirlings on the Purrgil, like we see in Rebels, and the Chimera has the same tongue and the same, like, features that you see underneath the Chimera. So
interesting.
I'm kind of expecting something in the show resistance as well, but I don't know when it's going to happen because I think it's 19 episodes again. And I don't know if that's going to happen before episode 9 comes out. So just in some way, I think Thrawn is the future and somehow appearing again.
I don't know if they'll actually do this since it's a big screen movie and like people like Crow, who's more of a, like the average Joe fan, you know what I'm saying? Knows all those details, but it would be fantastic, I think, if they would try to tie that in somehow. Reason why I'm kind of like perked up about your theory and having tie-ins into this is because we see Rey, and I think she's on Kamino. You see Rey and Kylo cutting down the statue of Darth Vader, which kind of makes me start thinking about like, oh, is that Lord Mommen from the comics of Darth Vader? Because like Lord Mommen basically resurrected himself.
Oh, he's gone. Mommen's.
Yeah, he's gone now. But like, did he teach Vader how to do that? Like, and also you see a dagger in Rey's hand, and like, are they trying to tie in from Rebels with the father and the son and the dagger that he used to kill himself to stop his son?
I think that's the Mortis dagger that she has.
Yeah.
I read all those spoilers that came out on Reddit because I could care less about this movie. I'm that fan that the best part of all those trailers is a trilogy will end type guy. I mean, that makes me cry every time. Tears of joy, by the way, not crying tears of, oh, farewell, you masterpiece, goodbye, goodbye. No. I'm looking forward to the end of this. I've got two reasons I'm going to see this movie. Papa Palpatine and Lauren, because I'm going all the way to Houston to watch this movie. And that's it. That's the only reasons. Those are the only two reasons I'm watching this movie. The Last Jedi took all the air out of my ever-living care for this trilogy. but no, at any rate, I read all the spoilers on Reddit because, like I said, I didn't care, and the leaks and whatever you want to call it, and everything is lining up pretty perfectly with what those leaks were. So, I mean, it's pretty perfect. I already know what's going to happen. Let's see. George Lucas reacts to Star Wars Rise of Skywalker.
I was going to say.
Oh, my goodness.
I'm sending you a message because you have to watch that. It's what do you call it, deepfake? And hearing your reaction right now to The Last Jedi and Rise of Skywalker, if you watch that, William, you're going to, die from laughter. It's hilarious.
I have not seen that yet.
Oh my gosh. After the podcast, go watch it. I want to hear your take because I was splitting on my side watching it.
I'm looking forward to what The Rise of Skywalker will do. I mean, there's parts of episode 8 that that I didn't like, of course, like Canto Bight, for example, kind of drug out, but the overall story, what they were going for, I really enjoyed. And I think we still have more to see in terms of what Luke has done and what he went through, especially with the comic, the new Kylo, I think it's number 2, where it shows him fighting the Knights of Ren. There's a lot more that we don't know that happened. And we've just seen the effect of it. We haven't seen the cause yet. And even I think still. The first issue of the Kylo Ren comic, they're saying that they're recommending to read it before you see the movie. So I'm like, oh my gosh, what's happening here?
I read it and it's great because Snoke actually takes Kylo to Dagobah.
And they destroy the
tree. And they go into the same Dark Aura cave that Luke went into and that Galen, if you're old school EU, went into. It's cool because somehow Snoke knows all about Luke and what he did there. So I don't know if there's theories that that Snoke was basically the Emperor. The Emperor was using him as a pawn and blah blah blah.
I wonder about that.
Controlling him because he had a ring on from that had the hieroglyphic writing,
right?
And a crystal from Vader's castle, which Lord Mommen used to basically transfer his Force essence into him, bring him back to life. So maybe he used that to kind of control Snoke and why he's saying he had seen all of it and he can't be betrayed because basically you can kill Snoke and he's still alive. I don't know. Theories.
Yeah.
We're all coming together now.
This is your undoing.
No, that poor guy needs a win. He needs a win. Yeah. I mean, all he wanted to do was rule the galaxy, learn the secret to immortality and time travel, and retire to a floating death station. But no, the guy he literally saved and treated as his right-hand man for 20 years picks him up and throws him down a damn shaft. And you know what?
And killed countless of innocents along the way.
Palpatine hadn't lifted a finger. He hadn't done anything. And it was self-defense with Mace Windu. Self-defense.
So treason it is.
And a green little goblin came and attacked him. I mean, come on. Who wouldn't destroy the Senate to kill a cockroach? My point is, and I will yield the rest of my time to the senator from Anchorville and her insane Thrawn ramblings. Papa Palpatine needs a win. He needs to win this trilogy. And then I'll be okay with how the last joke ended or whatever, or Rian Johnson's greatest F up or whatever we want to call it. But as long as Papa Palpatine gets that Papa Palpatine win and he wins for all time, I'm good. It would all have been worth it. All the misery, all the Canto bite, all the,
you gotta fight for what you love.
Okay, I'm done. I'm good. I've got my rant out of my system.
Response anchor.
Oh my gosh. I like it. I mean, Thrawn.
I'm going to get kerosene and burn every copy of The Last Jedi.
No, like, I don't know. Like, I feel like I'm not complete opposite, because, of course, I have issues with Episode 8 as well. But I love the overall story, and I think it's important to fight. Like, save what you love, you know? Like,
yeah, and kiss, you know, a guy. And he was literally driving the damn thing into the damn thing to save the people he loved. God!
But we don't fight like them, William.
Oh, my God. Then we lose like them.
But the Force
we fight together,
was with
you'll
them.
Lose. We'll do that together,
Warrior's
too.
And Warrior's Fortune
Oh, good
them.
God. I need a drink after this podcast. The optimism and love for that stupid movie is...
Well, I think here's the thing. Give me some hope, William.
Oh,
and
give me
Anchor
a new
can
hope.
Probably agree with me here. JJ, I think, can do it. He's the one guy that I think that can do it and pull it all together and kind of fix some of the issues that we have episode 8. And I'm hoping what he does is basically say that Luke's was kind of being like Yoda, kind of playing up to
Point of view.
Yeah, he's trying to play up to the, how do you grow so big eating food like this? Like, you know, stuff like that. Just trying to play dumb with Rey. Because some of the behind-the-scenes stuff, you kind of see that. Like, when they're having – there's a funny part in the behind-the-scenes stuff where, like, Rey's like, what's going on in the village down there? And Luke's like, oh, they're being attacked.
I don't know why they took that out.
That was hilarious, man. Because, like, it shows Luke, like, look, you got to look at this from a bigger point of view, you know?
Yeah, well, and going back to the Mortis gods, like, you know, it's all about balance. And I think Luke knew that. Luke knew that if he went back into the fight, that darkness would rise to meet him. And, you know, like, that ties into the lightsaber being thrown away. And, you know, too, there's stuff in his past that we haven't seen yet that I think will be revealed in that issue, too. Of the Kylo Ren comic, but you know, it's all about balance, and I think he just tried to remove himself from the whole equation, hoping that peace and balance would prevail. But then here comes Rey, you know, the Force has some other, like, has
my,
this other
my issue is it's kind of like great poets. You know, we all went through that English class where obviously. Shakespeare meant this when he wrote this. But if we dug up Shakespeare and talked to him, hey, did you really mean this? No, there was no double meaning. That was literally just that, and you all are making it something that it wasn't. I mean, and it's like, okay, so I can make a really bad Star Wars movie, for example, And I can have a whole team of Lucasfilm story group guys go back and say, well, this is because of that, and that's because of this, and this was because of that, and Luke really wasn't this, but he was really this because of this backstory we just crafted. No, it's because, I mean, Mark Hamill, I think of that poor guy. He was like, this is Dave Skywalker. This isn't Luke Skywalker. How could the most happy, optimistic guy in the entire galaxy? And I agree with that 100%, even though I didn't grow up in that generation of Star Wars movies. I grew up in the Clone War era, for the most part. I mean, I grew up with the old trilogy, too. But
you're a youngster.
Yeah, bite my ass. But anyway, but my point is, they've got, they can write a bad Luke Skywalker, give him crap reasons today, for why he did what he did. He was disgruntled. He failed Ben. That was it. But nope, Lucasfilm Story Group can go back and write this Kylo Ren and Luke fight up against the Knights of Ren out of nowhere. And all of a sudden, it becomes somewhat acceptable for all of this to have happened. I don't know. It ticks me off, and it seems kind of like a, I don't know, scapegoat or an out card. If you write something really bad in Star Wars, there can always be a reason for it written in later.
And that makes it even better.
Oh, Mule.
It's lore outside the film. I love that.
I love that too, but come on! Rian Johnson shot himself in the foot, and Lucasfilm comes with a whole new body. Here, Rian, but I only shot myself in the foot. Nah, you did a whole lot more than that, buddy. Shut the entire damn galaxy in the foot.
It's going to be interesting to see how they tie all this together, because I can't remember who was saying it. Maybe it was JJ or somebody else in some like interviews, but they're tying all of the episodes, all of it together. And I don't know how they could do that and make it under 3 hours, honestly. I mean, it's going to be like, what, 2 hours and 2.5 hours or something like that?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But it's the longest Star Wars film to date. So I don't know how they're going to do it, but I'm hyped to see it because, like, for me, William, it's something I grew up on, sir. And it's something I get to share with my kiddos. They get to see the end of an era. Thank God.
Yeah, I love seeing it through the eyes of kids, too, because, I mean, it's not just for us. And, you know, it's I don't know. I see it as a beautiful story. And I think, I don't know. I'm hopeful, and I have faith that it's going to come to a beautiful end. And two, you know, I'm expecting it to be open-ended as well. Even Kathleen Kennedy mentioned in an interview, I don't even know if it was earlier this year or maybe even earlier, but that they're planning for future stories beyond with Rey, Poe. And I don't know if, like, she kind of accidentally spoiled their fate. I mean, it could have changed since then. But they're planning on stories beyond episode 9 as well.
Interesting.
I mean, yeah. I enjoyed the saga, obviously. I grew up on Star Wars. This is my bread and butter. It's not Anthem. I mean, Anthem is my bread and butter, but Star Wars, what I grew up on. Star Wars, what I got made fun of in school for loving as a kid. And I think the story's great, even with a donkey eating a metric ton of laxatives and whatever that Last Jedi was. But it was a great story, and it has been a great story, and I hope that JJ can conclude it in a way that Lucas would feel proud to have concluded it with, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah. Crow, any closing thoughts here, sir?
I'm really excited. I was actually talking about this with our friends Lupo and Orange last night, because we were like, just kind of spitballing back and forth about this trilogy. And what we kind of both all settled on was, like, The Force Awakening was, it's kind of hard to say it wasn't, but it's basically a redone New Hope now. And then, Last Jedi was kind of more of this, like, it almost felt like a long extended episode of, like, the Clone Wars or Rebels. Like, not a whole lot happened. There were some ups and downs. Like, there's some really bad spots, but then there are some pretty good spots as well. Some things that just didn't need to be there at all. But it was kind of tying in, kind of setting up for the end. And right. Rise of Skywalker is going to be the conclusion of these 9 films. And I'm really excited to see what happens, but I'm hoping that it's not the end of everything.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, and I don't think it will be.
No, sure. it's Star Wars. Star it never Wars. Will be.
I'm worried about the fates of some characters, but...
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, poor Papa Palpatine. Good God.
Well, I think there's like an Emperor Valkorion type thing going on with him, the way the essence transfers.
Yeah.
Could be.
I think there's going to definitely be some type of ending where it's not going to be about the known area of the galaxy. It's going to be about kind of like the... almost like the old EU, like the Sith Empire out in unknown regions, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe
that.
That's where we get Thrawn.
Yes!
Oh,
yes!
Wade.
Now the
Ezra, bring in Ezra.
Today that will never be undone.
Anchor, you did make a comment about Valkorion. Like, isn't all that stuff not canon, though?
No, it's not. I mean, there's echoes, you know, that I'm sure the story group will draw from, but no, it's technically not canon. But I mean, the Star Wars Twitter promoted this new DLC that just came out.
Onslaught.
So, yeah. They acknowledge it. They know it's there. It's just they're kind of in this weird middle ground with it.
Canon to the cinematic universe.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, guys, man, there's so much to be excited for Star Wars. So much good stuff coming. But Anchor, William, thank you guys so much for joining us and chatting Star Wars.
This was awesome. I could talk for even more about what I see with the others, like the Jedi Fallen
Order,
Mandalorian. Oh my gosh!
Tame tonight.
I was, today? I guess, this morning.
Yeah.
But yeah, no. Thank you so much for having us. I'll always talk Star Wars with y'all.
Yeah, and tell everyone that's listening where they can find you guys, where they can follow you.
Well, yeah, you can follow me at Anchor654 on Twitter, Instagram, Twitch. And I stream pretty regularly on Twitch, getting a new schedule out there. So, yeah, you can find me on there. Always talking Star Wars or Greedfall, Anthem, Star Citizen. I'll be there.
Right on.
And then you can find me on YouTube at Your Anthem or on Twitter as Anthem Your, because damn you, Twitter, not releasing handles. Even after they haven't been used in 10 years. Come on, Twitter.
Yeah. Well, thanks again, guys, for joining us. And if you guys want to know more awesome streamers like us, then visit thesheddteam.gg and find out more about the stream community we are a part of. And if you would, guys, like us on Facebook, leave us a review on iTunes. You can follow us all on Twitter. And remember, when in doubt...
Laura! Oh, Christ. Pardon me, I grew up with the old trilogy too, but
you're a youngster.
Yeah, bite my ass. But anyway, but my point is, they can write a bad Luke Skywalker.